I don't ask for riches. I don't ask for fame. This afternoon, we're going to look at the richest man on earth. How many of you feel like you're rich, whether you're poor or whatever your bank account, how many of you feel rich? How many know that you're rich? You know you're rich. How much money does it take to be rich? Let's look at this. James chapter 1, the richest man, I should add, even the richest woman on earth. James chapter 1. Again, the theme of the book of James is a belief that behaves. Verse 2, your behavior will show in your disposition. Verse 3, in your discernment. Verse 4, in your development. Verses 5 through 8, in your deficiency. Today, your behavior will show in your delight. Verses 9 through 11, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. And the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. The rich man shall fade away in his ways. Your behavior will show in your delight. So a Christian's behavior, whether you're poor or rich financially, is seen in what you see in verse 9, in what you rejoice in. Your rejoicing, or literally what you boast or glory in. What do you boast in? What do you glory in? James is not here encouraging a battle between the haves and the have-nots, or an enmity. In fact, he's talking about just the opposite. Today, those people who are of lesser income levels are encouraged to bring down to their level those of greater income. It's called socialism, one of the first steps toward communism. It's an economic disaster, socialism is, and it's unscriptural. But James does not encourage the elimination of economic differences. Instead, in this passage, he is pointing out the faith that each, rich and poor, has in Christ is what we have in common and is the true equalizing factor. Let's look at the delight of the lowly, first of all, and then we're going to look at the delight of the wealthy. In verse 9, the delight of the lowly. Again, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Now, it doesn't say the poor man here, but when you contrast what you see in verse 9 with the rich in 10 and 11, we can say, okay, let's talk about the poor man here, the one of low degree. And James, by calling him a man of low degree, is pointing out his status, perhaps even economic. And James is saying, this man is not to delight in his humiliation. He doesn't delight in the fact that he is of low degree. He is not exhorted to boast or rejoice in his low estate, or literally, his height. The tendency I find today is that the poor brag about or rejoice in their economic status because everybody likes to be a victim today. Everybody wants to be a victim. And that displays the wrong attitude of a Christian when they look at the rich or the wealthy and try to make the wealthy or the rich feel guilty for not helping them, for not reaching out to them. That's the wrong attitude of a Christian. And when a Christian speaks, when an economically poor Christian speaks derogatorily toward a wealthier Christian, your attitude is wrong. Well, if I had what you had, I would be doing such and such. That is a poor representation of Christianity. This is not the attitude of a Christian or his preoccupation. Instead, it is in his exaltation. It is not in his humiliation. It is in his exaltation. Let him rejoice in that he is exalted. How is a man or a woman of low degree who is a Christian exalted? Where is that exaltation? James does not pity this poor brother, but he exhorts him, let me put it this way, to find delight in his height. Not physically, not his stature, but in his position. It doesn't matter if you're wealthy or if you're poor economically. What is your status as a believer? This is his spiritual position as a Christian. Here, James is saying, is something for you to rejoice or boast about. You've been exalted. This is an attitude. My exaltation is past my present visualization of what I see myself as, but it should not be beyond my recognition. Here's how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 4:8. Now ye are rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says that Jesus Christ became poor so that you might be made rich. The message to the church in Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, the Lord Jesus himself says about this church, I know thy poverty, parentheses, but thou art rich. Your attitude toward material things, somebody said, is a good index of your spiritual condition. Let me read that again. Your attitude toward material things is a good index of your spiritual condition. There's a hymn that we have in our hymnal that we're going to sing at the end of this message by Harriet Buell, A Child of the King. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing all glory to God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King with Jesus, my Savior. I'm a child of the King. So what's the delight of the lowly? He rejoices or boasts in his exaltation. Then in verses 10 and 11, we see the delight of the wealthy. But the rich, in that he is made low. How is a rich man made low? Think about the definition of rich, because few of us consider ourselves to be rich. Because there's always more money to be had. And there's always someone else who has more than I have. So how much does one need to be rich? The basic sense of the word used here is fullness of goods. It denotes one who does not need to work for a living. That's the definition of this rich man. I am rich as a believer, as a Christian, because I don't need to work for eternal living. The construction of the language here also implies that this rich man is a brother. So you could say it this way, but let the rich brother rejoice in that he is made low. It's a wrong philosophy that says or teaches that a man can't be a Christian and be rich at the same time. We are not told to take a vow of poverty, but we are commanded to put riches in perspective. Notice this wealthy man's delight. Verse 10, it is not in his exaltation. Let the rich man rejoice in that he is made low. Would you agree that riches are a stumbling block to becoming a Christian? Well, Jesus said that. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And if a rich man does become a believer, or if a believer accumulates wealth, it is a constant danger. Why? Because he begins to trust in his riches. He uses those riches for influence. He uses those riches to exalt himself, as so many are trying to do today in political positions. Paul had to put it this way to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17 to 18. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. It is easy to not only rely upon riches to get us into heaven, it is also our temptation as believers who are on our way to heaven when we are rich to begin to trust in those riches. The Bible calls them uncertain riches. His delight is not in his exaltation. His delight is not in his wealth. It is rather in his humiliation. It's humiliating for a rich man to become a Christian. He is made low. If a rich man becomes a Christian, he forfeits the homage that the world pays men like that. The cross, the Bible teaches, is a reproach. Paul's admonition is the same as what James teaches here when Paul says this in Romans 12:16. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Same word used here in James 1:10, in that he is made low. We are joint heirs with those of low estate. You will find that the rich will generally congregate to the same churches. It really amuses me to a certain extent to see how people will go to a church because of their status or the status they assume that they have, and they all tend to hang out together. It's beneath them to go anywhere else. And it reveals that the attraction, even for a church, is based upon material wealth rather than spiritual wealth. Lenski, in his commentary on this passage, says this: as the poor brother forgets all his earthly poverty, so the rich brother forgets all his earthly riches. The two are equals by faith in Christ. As someone once said, at the cross, we stand level with each other, regardless of our economic status. This rich man, this wealthy man in verse 10, is humbled. He is brought low. He is made low when he considers the brevity of his life. And that's what the whole rest of the passage is all about. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. The life of the poor is brief, but so too the rich. But who tends to forget that more? The rich tend to forget that more. Literally, and its flower falls off and the beauty of its face perishes. One of the reasons I don't like to get my wife flowers for Valentine's is because it's so transitory. And my wife agrees. She says, don't get me flowers. Let's go do something together. There's something lasting about doing something together. The flowers are going to fade. Now, I still get her flowers, but rarely, because I know what she thinks of them. But they're so transitory. And that's what the rich man sees with his wealth. It's gone. And so these verses 9, 10, and 11 provide an illustration of the principle we saw way back in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When testing comes to the poor man, he lets God have his way and rejoices that he possesses spiritual riches that cannot be taken away from him. And when testing comes to the rich man, he also lets God have his way and he rejoices that his riches in Christ cannot wither. They cannot fade away. In other words, as someone once said, it is not my material resources that take me through the life, through the testings of life. It is my spiritual resources. I'm a rich man because I'm a believer. You're a rich man, a rich woman, because of your status in Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance that fades not away. And we can rejoice in that. Our position in Jesus Christ. True wealth is not a material possession, it is a spiritual possession. Now, the rich man is exhorted on how to use his riches in this life. But I find it interesting, even the churches in Macedonia that Paul writes about in Corinthians, he says, in their poverty, they gave. I find it interesting that a little church like ours is often more supportive of people who come here to speak and so forth in our love offerings. I've been to churches, I've been to very, very large churches. And when they take an offering for a speaker, in many cases, it is pittance. Not all of them. But I think it's because more people rely upon, well, I know we got some rich people out of church, I think they'll just give. Rather than each one saying, Lord, what would you have me do? And so folks, let's realize, I'm a child of the King. I'm rich.